This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's Hoffman Show. We are live on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we're streaming on YouTube at the Team 980. I don't know how many shows will ever give you the NFL draft, the NBA draft, and the WNBA draft all in one day, but we are doing that. It's draft day here on the show. It just kind of that's what the news is. And to get us started talking NFL draft, it's our pleasure to welcome back to the show our guy, Eric Edholm, lead draft writer for NFL.com. Double E, how we doing, man?
Yeah, just don't ask me about any hoops prospects. I'll be all right, man.
No, I know that you're. I'm good. I know you're a Mizzou guy. Your team's in the tournament. I'm a Syracuse guy. Mine's not. So we're just gonna avoid the hoops. We're just gonna stick with football because suddenly that's the sport my school's better at. But I don't want to really talk about that either. We could do it's Kyle McCord bit, but we won't.
Sure.
I actually do want to ask you about a quarterback real quick though. That I just thought this is interesting and it's kind of the news of or one of the news items of the day in draftland. Jalen Milroe just ran a 4.37 I saw at his pro day.
Yeah.
Why in the world did he not do that at the combine and become the talk of Indy for a week?
Yeah. Apparently he was on the fence up until the final kind of, you know, decision day, if you will. I mean, it was when he met with a lot of teams at the combine. He was one of the more popular quarterback interviews for that combine setting, and I'm sure he'll have, you know, team visits because he's a big question mark, right? There's a lot to like about his physical tools. There's a lot to question about his game. I saw him down at the Senior Bowl. I don't think he separated himself. So, yeah, I was thinking going into the combine. In fact, I even included him in my 17 candidates for the fastest 40-yard dash. And, of course, I always pick extra because guys bow out and stuff. But I think he's my first quarterback in the last 3 years of doing it. So, but, you know, you saw it today. He's fast. Not just fast, but fast. And I was a little surprised he didn't run an Indy. You know, maybe he didn't feel like he had enough kind of training for it or, you know, just sort of general healing from the season or whatever. But he opted out, and maybe we'll see. I'm sure there's still going to be buzz from this, though.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll keep an eye on that. But luckily, Eric, this year, That's the last quarterback question on a DC radio show. We got that all straightened out last year. You've only done one mock draft so far that's up on NFL.com. I'm sure you got your 2.0 coming around the corner. You had James Pierce going to Washington. Generally speaking, when you look at this edge rusher class, because now, like, looking what Washington did in free agency, that seems like their number one need if it wasn't already going in. But with Tunsil, you know, showing up, like, tackle is now down the list a little bit. How confident are you that this edge class will fall in a way that there is a player worthy of them taking at that position at 29?
Yeah, I think it's the one position where you feel like, you know, if you'd asked me what some of the stronger positions in this draft class were, I'd mention tight end, I'd mention running back for sure, and I definitely mention, you know, the defensive line class as a whole, but specifically edge. And I think, you know, given the value of those two other positions, running back and tight end, where, yeah, we'll see some first-rounders here and there, but people are generally a little bit more suspicious about using higher picks of those positions. You're left with edge, which is the premium position, right? It's probably quarterback, receiver, edge, offensive tackle. Those are sort of the, you know, the money positions that more often than not go first round, even in down years for the position. So there is a high value there, obviously. But I think there's a little bit of volatility with some guys, just for, and Pierce is one of them. You know, he has some character questions, some sort of football character stuff that, you know, we haven't always seen him play with a hot motor. And so there's, you know, you don't exactly know who's got him on their board and who doesn't and who's worried about that and who isn't. You know, same with Mike Green, who spent some time at Virginia and left there in maybe a little bit of controversial fashion. And even though he's sort of vehemently denied the allegations against him, I think teams have done work on him. And so, and then like Shamar Stewart, even the workout warrior from A&M. I mean, you know, these are all three players that have great alluring traits, but also some big question marks. So I think that kind of keeps alive the possibility of a real legitimate first round talent being there when the Commanders pick, or, you know, within close range of it.
So that becomes really interesting to me, listening to how Adam Peters talks about things, how Dan Quinn talks about things, because they talk about that Commander's tag. And if I hear something like, he doesn't play hard every snap, or there's a little bit of a question about the motor,
right,
that feels like that guy's off their board. That's just not how they roll, how they operate. So if we were to, just for the sake of argument, for the sake of discussion, not really the sake of argument, for the sake of discussion, Take anybody off the board who there is a motor, like, football character question. Who are the edge guys that are then left in that range? I know a guy like Landon Jackson probably comes up, who was just an absolute freak show at the combine, plays really hard. Who else could possibly be available in that range? Or maybe if they trade back somewhere into the 30s, low 40s, could be available.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson's sort of that borderline first, second round guy, and, you know, certainly looks the part. I mean, I think he would be a you know, almost like a Greg Rousseau-ish kind of build, you know, that sort of long, leggy, strong guy. Had a scary neck injury the last regular season game of the year and got carted off. He's fine. It was just one of those things that you worried about at the time, because there was some first-round buzz at the end of the season. It was interesting with him, too, because he didn't really show out day one of the Senior Bowl to me. I thought he actually had a rough practice, but it said something to me that he really bounced back the next 2 days. And I know there's a lot of weight put on that first practice sometimes, and, you know, not everybody stays for the entire week and all that, but, you know, that to me is the guy who said, okay, I got to raise my game here, and did so. And the testing in Indy was the sort of the icing on the cake, if you will. So, yeah, I mean, he's just one of a number of guys. I mean, you know, the Ohio State edges are definitely gonna play full tilt. You know, Tua Maloa and Jack Sawyer are both kind of high energy guys, both NFL physiques, well built for the trench duty, if, you know, in battling in the muck up front, but also I think have enough juice. They're not really true edge benders, but, you know, guys who can hold up outside. So if you're looking for more of the zippy, bendy pass rusher, I think he's probably gone by the time they pick, but Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College is the one who is probably, you know, along with Mike Green, I would say made the most of their draft stock in the last 6 months, just in terms of the edge rush class. He's more of your smaller, longer, leggier pass rusher, kind of that Will McDonald mold a little bit.
Yeah, Ezeraku's a guy that was being mocked to Washington basically until like the end of January. And then everyone's like, never mind. Eric at home with us, lead NFL draft writer for NFL.com. The other position that I think is really interesting for Washington at 29 is corner. It seems like every mock draft simulation that I do, every actual mock draft that I look at, like there's a lot of corners that are going to go kind of right after that. And if they decide, no, these guys are all tiered for us the same, that's certainly a position they could attack based off of their current roster. Is there a guy in that range that you particularly like?
Yeah, I mean, I'm maybe a little higher on Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky than some other people are. I don't know. It's hard. I haven't really sort of caught up on everybody's list. But, you know, he missed some time this season with injury. It didn't really have an opportunity at the Senior Bowl to show out. And so, you know, obviously running a 4.28 will get attention. And that was kind of the time I think he was hoping for and needed to run, just because you're not talking about a super thickly built corner. I mean, he's on the lighter side, 180 pounds and just below 6 foot. So that said, I think he can play on the outside. I think he can be very good. He's in that range, I think, you know, somewhere in that 25 to 35 range, if I had to guess, maybe a little longer, but corners go fast, you know. I would say the kid from FSU, Thomas, is a different type of build, longer, stronger. Certainly would make a lot of sense if he was there. For a bad football team, I saw some pretty good tape on this guy, and he was a day one show out in Mobile too. So those are a couple that I like, different styles. Jahdae Barron, you know, there's been more buzz on him. I would say he might be off the board at that point. And then in round two, you start getting in a little bit of murky area. Some of the injured guys like Siobhan Revell from ECU and, you know, Benjamin Morrison. And, you know, I mean, there's their potential first-round talents that you could get later on. But, you know, obviously it comes with a little bit of a buyer beware tag, I would say.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
I got a couple more questions real quick for Eric at home here on the NFL draft with us here on the Hoffman Show. The first one, Eric, is when you've watched free agency happen and some teams fill some needs, and you're obviously in the background working on your mock draft 2.0, presumably, what's kind of the biggest contour change of this draft, whether it's a team that filled a quarterback need or a big tackle need or whatever? Like, what is some of the changes that you've seen from mock draft 1.0 pre-free agency to kind of what you're working on now with 2.0 presumably coming out soon with team needs evolving?
Yeah, next week we'll have that. I think I've gotten through about three picks so far because I keep kind of wavering on the top. I think we have learned a few things, but we're, you know, Aaron Rodgers kind of making us wait a little bit. Obviously, that affects some of the teams picking near the top. And, you know, where's Russell Wilson going to land? Does that affect a team's draft plans if they're just totally not enamored with the quarterback? So, but, you know, you just sort of look at the Titans at one and just figure, you know, they haven't been real aggressive at quarterback. It just sort of feels like they can sit there at one, take Cam Ward, you know, wipe their hands and say, all right, we got our guy. You know, is he as good as Callahan had with Burrow at number one a few years back? No, I don't think so. I think he's a good football player. I really do. And I think he could end up being approaching a top 10 quarterback. I just don't know if he's ever going to be special. So, I think that's becoming a little more crystallized, but that also could be a way to lure the Giants up. But I think Ward going one feels more likely now than it ever has. And then you have to ask yourself, you know, how to 2, 3, 4 line up. And, you know, the draft is still really murky. We have kind of a couple of really unusual guys like Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter, true blue chip guys. You have Austin Jenny, one of the better backs we've seen in recent years, but we don't have that one true alpha receiver. We don't have the clear number one at left tackle. It's kind of defense heavy. There's just a lot of, you know, two tight ends who could go in the top 15. It's a very unusual year in a lot of ways, so, which I like, and it makes it harder to predict and harder to kind of feel out. So yeah, I'm going to be slogging along these next 3 days on the mock trying to, you know, make it all make sense, or at least something close to it.
And then on day 4, Russell Wilson will sign and throw your whole thing in the garbage can again.
That happens every year, man. There was a trade a couple years ago. Like, I was 10 minutes away from filing, and it was like, oh, first-round pick traded. And,
yeah, by the way, also,
this is the end of my laptop at that point, yeah.
This is the first year in, you might know the stats, so I'll just start saying it and you can finish my sentence if you want.
I said
that every single team has their own first round pick. It's like over a decade at least, if not longer.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time. I forget the year, but yeah, it's been a long time since we've had that. So yeah, I mean, just a very unusual thing, and we don't have any first rounders traded next year yet. You know, no big quarterback moves or anything, or, you know, Myles Garrett didn't switch teams, so. You know, I don't know. Does that mean there's a calm before the storm? We're going to get a lot of activity? Maybe. You know, teams like Washington and Minnesota don't have a lot of draft capital, especially Washington, five this year, five next. So, you know, that trade down scenario you were floating, I could see that too.
All right, for sure. All right, last thing for you real quick. Speaking of Washington, obviously much of local interest here being a local radio show. The Commanders were so unexpectedly good last year. I basically asked everyone who came through at the combine this question, so I'm going to wrap up with you on this thought.
Yeah.
The Commanders were so unexpectedly good, and they were a very interesting exercise in team building that I think it made a lot of people, certainly me, but I'm local. I did this. I talked about them every day, nonstop, for, you know, since the day that Adam Peters was hired. So I thought about team building very differently after covering last year's team. You have a much wider scope of the league. You've been doing this a long time. Was there something, though, that you took out of what Washington did, the way they built it, that informs the way you're thinking about the offseason and team building this year and more or less going forward?
Yeah, obviously, you know, you kind of start with the quarterback position with any time a GM takes over a job and, you know, where are they at? What's the level of urgency for that? It was high, obviously, but they were in position to get one. They knew it. They went through the process. That was like one channel. The other channel was, I think, just filling out the roster with as many competitive, roster situations as you could. Filling out talent. Like, we don't need everybody to be a hero this year, right? You know, that. I was a big fan of Ben Sinnott. You know, I thought he was a really good college tight end, is going to make a good NFL player. We didn't see a lot from him, right? And that was a good, like, and nice to have that kind of luxury. But just going through and finding some of those second contract guys who, you know, like Jeremy Chinn and Frankie Louvu and stuff, who were, you know, a little bit slipped through the cracks. Talented players you can kind of get in there and make work. And obviously it was kind of a, you know, the Wagner move was obviously a sort of a crystallizing move up front, and just throw as many one-year veterans into competitive situations with rookies, and it was a smart team-building exercise. And you know, Adam had such a good reputation for years. You know, we kind of heard about him and a few others the last few years, and you know, he got his opportunity, and I think he made the most of it year one. This year's been different, right? Obviously, aggressive moves on offense, and it just shows that, you know, you don't have to necessarily have the same philosophy every single year. Situations change. They win. Now you're in a different mode. You're gearing up to make a big run, and that's why you saw Tunsil and Debo.
I think that's a great point you just made at the end, too. Like, things change. Your cap situation changes. The league market changes. Your urgency to win. Your quarterback situation. So, I think a lot of people are always looking for the perfect process every single time, and that doesn't really exist. Eric Edholm, lead writer for NFL.com when it comes to the NFL draft. Again, it's new mock draft 2.0 coming next week. Eric, always a pleasure, sir. Really appreciate the time. I know you're busy this time of year and slammed always with the kiddos and everything else you got going on. So, hope everyone's feeling better in the Edholm household, and we'll talk to you again before the draft for sure.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Eric Edholm with us here on the Hoffman Show. Coming up at 5 p.m., NBA draft. Jeremy Wu, ESPN.com. The Jazz and Wizards are playing tonight. They're both not very good in 2025. But that's because they want to be really good in the 2025 NBA draft. We'll talk about the non-Cooper Flag prospects that we should be watching and the two Rutgers kids that aren't in the NCAA tournament with Wu coming up at 5 here on The Hoffman Show.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.